3 potatoes, 4 5 potatoes, 6 potatoes, 7 potatoes, 4 1 potato, 2 potatoes, 3 potatoes, 4 5 potatoes, 6 potatoes, 7 potatoes, more
potatoes.
Welcome to the Potato Week Podcast with your host Dan Fleming and Tom Crossman.
Thanks, TJ.
Thank you, TJ.
Episode 170, right?
Yeah, we're out of the 60s.
Of Potato League Podcast. Welcome.
Yeah?
We don't really have a lot today.
Yeah,
this is going to be a short episode, I think.
We say that.
Right.
For 3 hours.
Right. So. It's either going to be short or really tedious.
Yeah.
For people to listen to. Mm-hmm. We'll be fine. It'll be fine with us.
One way, either way, because
it'll just be instead of a sort of structured recorded conversation, it'll be a completely unstructured recorded conversation.
Weird.
You might hear about stopping for coffee and not bothering to pause and stuff like that. Let's stretch this out. We just watched the trailer to
We're not
the
gonna start as always with Aunt Becky.
Aunt Becky, it's frustrating because I didn't want to bring her up because something happened at some point this week, and I thought this is good. I need to write this down, and then I didn't.
But then
when you try to search it, when you try to search stuff that is like if you wanted to look up a sports score,
yeah.
You look it up, you're going to find that sports score.
Mm-hmm.
If you look up something on a tabloid subject,
yeah.
You're never, ever going to find what you were looking for. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know what day it was, and with tabloid-type stories, because I just tried before you got here, I looked it up, I scrolled back through a couple days of Lori Loughlin news to see if I could find that story. And it's just, I scrolled forever and didn't even get to yesterday.
Well, there's a new thing that was interested me this week. It's not Aunt Becky, but there's new Aunt Beckys out there. There are now rich parents in Illinois suburbs who are giving up the rights to their child so that the child can then be foster adopted or any stuff like that and then be eligible for more money.
Yikes.
So there are, rich suburbanite parents, and it's, doctors and lawyers who are, essentially giving up all their parental rights. And then the kids will be, the custody will be given to, a friend. And then the kid gets to claim, no parental involvement.
I know that.
And get good financial aid.
I know that,
that's Aunt Becky and Aunt Becky, I think. Because at least Becky didn't go, no, they're not my kids anymore.
It is.
For all the bullshit they pulled,
that is
still
only,
their kids.
That is only one step away from making your kids sit in a wheelchair while you go to Disney World so they can cut in line.
Yes.
It is.
It exactly is that. It's that show that
Robin
watches on Hulu, The Act or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. on a moral issue, not a financial one. Obviously, yeah. The college thing is way bigger financially, but just on a...
Yeah.
Come on, that's pretty fucking low. But it is, it's, as you become an adult, and especially now, the way things are now more than ever, you really begin to realize that rich people are just the worst.
It is.
And it's so easy to brush that statement off as just jealousy.
Yeah.
And sure, I wish I were rich.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still the worst.
I don't wish I were give up parental rights of my kids, rich, in order so
the
that I get a better
worst.
Deal on college.
Well, just in big picture, on a macro level, every rich person in this country is obviously, well, not every, 99% of the rich people in this country do everything they can to make sure that they have more and that people like you and I have less. That's what they're doing all the time.
Yeah. And, this for me hit kind of close to home, because I remember the bullshit when I was applying for college and financial aid. They made me try to track my dad down so fucking hard.
Oh, really?
In order to say, because, we received no financial anything from him from, the age of 13 on.
Where you're like, nah, I'm good.
Oh, that's what I kind of wanted to be like, because they're like, I'm, applying, and they're like, well, here's my mother's.
Yeah.
Financial situation. They're like, well, we need your dad's. And I'm like, well, fucking find him then.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's in Florida
somewhere. If he stops by, you let me know.
Yeah. I'm like, my mother has received no money from him since I was 13. He's not a part of my life. There's no money coming in from him. well, we need to talk to him to see. I'm just like, go fuck yourself. Well,
again, if you can get in touch with him, you let me know.
Yeah, but I'm like, imagine how many kids got put through that type of shit where, oh, by the way, please contact the parent you don't like in order to get financial aid. And here's parents going, eh, we're just going to sign this off. And I'm like,
right.
Thinking about all the horrible shit that can go wrong on that. Like, if you've signed off parental rights on your kids, he's 16, whatever. That kid gets into a car accident, you can't sign off on anything for him medically anymore. Right. So.
Right, you haven't just given up your right to pay for their college.
Yeah. That kid can now do whatever the fuck they want, and you have no say in it. Hopefully that doesn't backfire in a terrible way.
Well, also, you know, rich kids are usually pretty well adjusted and...
Oh, yeah, they never create
problems. Not entitled at all. So, yeah, giving them that extra power and telling that they're an adult at 15 is probably a pretty good idea.
Yeah. Fuck. And it's just bizarre to think that happens and it's okay and, like... Because I've also been involved through my work in cases where DHHS has tried to terminate parental rights...
Oh, yeah.
On minors. And it's fucking hard.
Yeah.
I've got kids who are, like, beaten and abused and given drugs and all this other horrifying shit. And it's tough to get a judge to sign off on that because it's like, well, they're minors. Right. We can't terminate their parental rights.
Right.
And I'm like...
That's the whole point, though.
But if you're rich, you can just go, oh, let me sign this paper.
Well, the funny thing about that is, like, well... If this kid was an adult, you and I wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah.
The reason we're talking about this is because the kid is a minor.
Yeah. So if someone has outdone Aunt Becky, way to go.
Well, I was just about to say, even with no Aunt Becky news, she has still blessed us with a good 6 minutes.
I'm waiting for parents out there to go, you know what helped get you into college? If I cut off your foot.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's cut off your foot next. You know, something that wild and outrageous. I'm just waiting for it to happen.
The frustrating thing about all of it, and you know, in general, and specifically Aunt Becky, they were an example. Those kids didn't even want to fucking go.
Yeah.
It was so that she could say at cocktail parties, my kids are at USC. Like, that's a fucking big... Apparently it is in Los Angeles, because it's, like, seen as being glamorous. It's a fucking state school.
Yeah. Wouldn't you be trying to get him...
It's a state school.
Wouldn't you be trying to get him into Stanford?
Yeah.
In that instance?
I don't think Spawn of Aunt Becky are coming within 100 miles of Stanford.
That's a lot of lifetime money right there to get them into Stanford.
It is. They better be good at football or something. They better be legit good at football.
Yes. No, just a picture of them in pads.
Not just a picture of them in pads, yeah. She's 5'3", 110.
But she can kick!
Yep. Yeah. So, Aunt Becky, again, we're about 2 months away from the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I say that. It's not going to be good stuff for Aunt Becky. Aunt Becky's almost surely going to prison. Because of that, I'm certainly not ruling out this getting interesting sometime in the next 2 months. Specifically, September. Because I would not be surprised if the reality really sets in.
Mm-hmm.
And it also wouldn't surprise me if the prosecutors gave her kind of a break and said, okay, we'll give you the same deal we were going to offer you before, plus maybe a bigger fine.
Yeah, no.
Or something like that. If that happened, she'd be fucking crazy not to do it. But otherwise, she's going to jail for a good long time, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I will say, I don't think she should go to prison for 40 years. But I also, as much as this isn't fair, I also think that people like that need to be made an example of.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Sorry, you're the one.
Plenty
of poor people have been, oh, well, we got to make an example every single time so that none of them do it again. So, yeah, I got no problem with her seeing 8 to 10
Mm-mm.
Aunt Becky years inside the slammer.
I'm not going to miss her creative output during that time.
No, I don't think anyone will. The world will not be at a loss.
Maybe she can come up with her own version of Orange is the New Black while in there for a lifetime.
Well, the thing is, she'll find a way to get rich out of it.
Oh, yeah. If her agent is worth a damn.
People like that.
She's already got a book deal waiting for when she goes in.
Sure. She'll be writing. She's got 10 years to write it.
Exactly. Just journal every day, Becky. We'll make something out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Becky
is the
Diaries, you know.
You can't make money.
Home Not Alone. No, wait. What was it? How, name of the show again?
Oh, I don't fucking know. Something about the heart.
Full House.
Oh, Full House, that one? Oh, I thought you were talking about the Hallmark
one.
Yeah,
there's got to be some prison thing you can throw at Full House.
Oh, fuck
like Full Yard or...
Yeah.
Full Bunks.
Yeah, Full Bunks.
She's got a book there.
There could be an episode on toilet wine.
Yeah.
What's the rule? What is the thing? Because it wasn't it. Didn't the there was a law passed? Was it because of Charles Manson, or was it just famous because of Charles Manson about making money while you're in prison?
Yeah.
How does that work?
I don't know. I think it's just for murder.
Yeah. So Aunt Becky could be selling.
Yeah, because like I mean, otherwise, like the woman who wrote Orange Is the New Black would not have gotten money from that.
But was she making money while she was in?
I don't think you can make it while you're in.
Okay.
And because I think if it's anything like it's a capital crime, you can't make money off it because the victims will the OJ shit.
Yeah, sure.
You know, the family will then sue you for everything you make.
Yeah.
So
OJ. Jesus. He's still trying, isn't he?
Oh, yes.
Fucking lunatic.
Waiting for him to sign openings of car washes and shit like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I can picture that. Do you want to go right to Tool?
Oh yeah, we might as well. It's the big topic of the week.
It is. I'm always surprised. I texted you the other day, because I got a compliment in public from a 40-something-year-old mom in the kids section of Target.
Yeah.
I'm always surprised because it feels solitary.
Yeah.
Your Tool listenings.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're out there.
Oh yeah.
It was a big week because over the past, first of all, like 2 weeks ago, they got an Instagram account, which was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started posting the album covers every day last week, and it was leading up to Friday. They released the name of the album and announced that everything was on was going to be coming on digital,
hated that they did it on Joe Rogan, though.
It literally...
I do not want to fucking listen to Joe Rogan.
I was honest to God just going to say, I had to watch it on Rogan, and now I have to delete my watch history because it's fucked up my algorithm on YouTube.
I don't fucking like Joe Rogan.
I'm getting
bullshit.
All my Rogan shit.
Yeah.
And I knew it was going to fuck up the algorithm. And normally it's fine. I'll just go in and you delete your search history and you're kind of wiped. But I've got a really good one going. Like, I've been watching... there's a couple channels that I like, but I only like certain things they do. Like, there's a Philadelphia sports channel that I only want their Eagles stuff.
Yeah.
And then they even do other shit. Like, they'll do, like, bluegrass festival stuff. Bullshit. It's just a dude. It's not an official account or anything like that. So it's nice that, because he, like, just rips it from his TV and posts it, which is great, because I don't live in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So it's a good channel for me, but he also posts, like, that's like a tenth of what he posts. Mm-hmm. I don't want all that shit coming up.
Yeah.
But if you just start watching only those episodes, they'll pop up in your recommendations. So I'm not subscribed to the guy.
Yeah.
So I had it, but I've been faith, because he started doing it about when training camp started. So I've faithfully built my algorithm up so that those are the first things on the recommendation when they come up. But now I gotta fucking delete it all because of Joe Rogan, because I had to watch a 4-minute clip.
Yep.
Of I didn't even watch the whole show.
Yeah.
I just watched the clip where they were talking about the album.
Yeah. I was damned if I was gonna listen to the whole podcast.
Oh yeah.
Or download the fucking podcast.
Although in that clip, there was the kind of cool thing that they talked about was the Falcons. Were you listening to that part of it?
No, I didn't listen to any of it.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
No, I listened to nothing.
Yeah, he literally, he did the Instagram post on while they were recording. But anyway, before that, they were talking about his vineyard, and Maynard was telling him about how, because I guess a problem in vineyards is the birds eating the grapes, like starlings and pigeons, I guess, are a big deal. And what you do is you hire falconers. And he said it's fucking amazing because you just, you see these, the little, you know, the smaller birds flying around picking at the grapes, and then you just see this fucking monster missile come out of the sky and just feathers, just explodes.
That's kind of awesome.
And he said you only have to do it for, you only have to have them come, you know, and it's a husband and wife team that do this. They have these falcons, and they only have to come a couple times, and then the birds are like, nope, not going to that vineyard.
Yep.
And they...
I know, there was a documentary about 10 years ago, I can't remember the title of it for the life of me, about Maynard's Vineyard.
Yeah.
And it was actually kind of fascinating.
Oh, sure, yeah.
It was like, I've always understood that having a vineyard is a lot of fucking work.
Yes.
Because so much shit can go wrong. And if one thing goes wrong, your wine tastes like shit.
Well, he said they were about 2 weeks behind this year because of all the rain in this spring. So just something like that can set you back. And in that climate, it's a little bit different. But here, where hours are a lot, start to get real short, that would destroy you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, being 2 weeks off. Like, if you were 2 weeks off on your... If you were growing weed or something, you're still dependent on the sunlight hours, so it's going to flower when it's going to flower.
Yep.
Yeah, it was pretty... That part, the little clip that I listened to was that little section, because that's what they were talking about while he was making the post.
Yeah.
Now I don't even remember. That was last week, and then all the stuff came out.
It was like Monday or something.
Yeah, and then the actual, everything hit digital on Friday.
Yeah, Friday. Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
My thing that I texted you is like, this is great and all, but like, don't you already have it? Mine's on my Google account. You just load your CDs into the Google account.
Yeah, mine's not on Google. Mine's on my iTunes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did that.
Now,
a decade ago.
I do remember the frustration of iTunes was like...
Everything that iTunes does.
Yeah, yeah, that of course.
Every decision they ever make, period.
But like, it was, for your stuff that was, that came from a CD, from iPod to iPod, you had to do it again.
Yeah, you had to do it again.
Which is
frustrating.
Ridiculous if you have a lot of them.
Well, it's why I still have my iPod Nano. Like, version 2, or whatever it was. Because that has all my Tom Waits and all my Tool loaded onto it.
Oh, it must be in the other drawer. Yeah, I do too.
And I still have one of the chargers that fits it. You know, for that very reason.
Yeah, I still have mine that has basically, like, my 90s and early 2000s CDs. The 10 years before I went digital, basically. Yeah. Are all on my little black Nano, which is apparently somewhere in this room. Yeah. I don't know. Oh, it's right in there. That's where it is. I was texting with my brother because he bought all four of them, or he bought everything but Opiate the day that it came out. And I was saying the only thing that it would do for me is it would probably, because right now when you see the album art in the background on my player, it's like distorted. Maybe it'll be in HD and it'll be a little bit better framed, but I'm not sure that's worth buying the albums again.
What I'm surprised is they did not put on there, I'm trying to remember the name of the DVD. Salival.
The Salival, yeah.
Why is that not on there to listen to?
I don't know.
Because that's weird for me, because that's one of my favorite things they've put out, because it has the live versions of the songs we like.
Oh, yeah, that is hands down the, if you'll, on this very visual podcast, if you look down at the bottom of my playlist, this is hands down the most played section of my playlist.
Oh, yeah, because you've got Third Eye and Push It Live.
Yeah, and then you throw No Quarter in there, and it's like 40 minutes. And that is hands down the most listened to section of that of my playlist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know why.
Yeah,
it's still even. It's difficult to find because it went out of print long ago.
Yeah.
I think I talked about it. I finally got a copy because I never had a copy. I just got a copy last year.
I've been there since the beginning, because I'm that cool.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I paid, like, $40 for it. How much was it when it came out? Do you remember?
$25, $30,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, so I paid $40 for the DVD version. Now that I'm thinking of it, I should have got the VHS version, just because it would have been cool.
Yeah, the DVD is $188 right now on Amazon.
To get a good good one?
Yeah, to get a one, period.
What?
Yeah, that's the cheapest price, $188.
Jesus,
for
is it
DVD.
What kind of condition is it in?
Better
be in fucking shrink wrap.
Probably not. Very good. And then the next one is $250. Also very good. Like new, you're looking at $300. Mine is most likely beat to shit because it sat on my shelf forever.
You can,
and the CD is scratched, which pisses me off.
But. First one that pops up on eBay is $53.
Yeah.
By
Amazon's
now.
Always a little high. But.
Oh, yeah. Amazon is you're fishing for someone to pay the big price. On eBay, you're just trying to turn it over.
Yeah.
Although, here's a sealed one on, holy shit. This is a new sealed one on eBay, and this is an auction, so these are live bids. It's at $260. With 2 days left, holy shit, that thing's going to go for $600. It's got 2 days left, it's got already got 51 bids, and it's at $260. That's awesome. I'm going to keep an eye on this just to see how it goes. See where it ends up. Actually, let's go, I'll look to see, sold... this is an autographed one. It's open but signed. Sold for $330.
I hate it when I see that though, because I'm like,
I know.
Is it really signed? Yeah.
I don't care about anything signed unless the person signed it in front of me.
Yeah. Or if it was like part of the release. You
Ooh,
know,
those
that,
are
like
awesome.
The first like 300-500 copies got signed or shit like that. You know, when it's just, hey, this is signed. I'm like, is it though?
Did you know there was an LP? Version?
I saw that there's an LP version, yeah. Which I'm assuming does not have the videos.
Probably not. It'd be pretty cool if they did, though.
Good guy,
it's
damn.
It's in the, like
it's in
a foil.
It's a biohazard bag.
Yeah.
Huh.
This one sold for $250.
I can imagine. I wonder when that came out. Because, like, at that time, no one gave a fuck about vinyl. When that was released. That
but you
out, like,
could still get it, because I had Pearl Jam vinyl.
Oh, yeah, you can still get it, but it wasn't like now, today, where
oh, no.
vinyl's huge. Like,
yeah.
12 years ago, no one gave a fuck about
it. Well, they weren't far enough away from it.
Yeah.
Vinyl was still, we were still listening to records when you and I were.
Oh, yeah, and I remember specifically buying, album after Versus for Pearl Jam.
Oh, Vitalogy.
Vitalogy, I got Vitalogy on vinyl.
Yeah.
Just because I thought it was unique.
Turns out it wasn't.
No.
But.
Yeah.
But
now everything comes out on vinyl.
I had a 10 colored vinyl, which is awesome. Mm. I think they all, I don't, well, this is a long story. They disappeared. I thought they were, and no one knows where they went. I lost a lot of Pearl Jam stuff in the fire, because a lot of it was stored above my parents' store. Mm. That's where all my import CDs were. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of imports.
Oh, yeah.
But the vinyls were always here in the closet in this house, and my brother and I have asked, like, my mother says, what would she do with them, you know? Like, what would she do with them?
Barb's not a black market type
of gal. Yeah, I mean, she would have known what she was throwing away.
Yeah, and it's not like she usually throws away shit from you and Ryan.
Yeah, so that's why they disappeared. I don't know, no one knows where they are. Our current theory is that, because this house was empty for about 2.5 years, our current theory is that they were somehow stolen. I don't know how.
I have no idea how. Someone came into the house, looked through a cupboard, and I'm like, ooh, Pearl Jam.
Some Pearl Jam vinyls. This is what I was looking for. Took them. And
I was here looking for crack.
And then locked the door when they left.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea where they are. So month of Tool has begun.
Yep.
And the album comes out on the 30th. We'll probably revisit. Do you want to revisit our list of...
I say we do that before the album hits.
Before it hits?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think you'll have significant changes on yours?
No. I do not. I
don't even remember what mine was.
I was going to say, if I did it from memory right now, I bet the list would look somewhat different.
Do you want to try to do it, and I'll listen to the episode later and see how right you are?
Oh, not right now, no. I am not prepared.
Okay.
But, I mean, I know which ones are top five.
Yeah.
But who knows if I could get the order the same.
I know there are songs that are added, that I've added, that may, depending on how far a list we make, that would either bump some stuff out or... because there's songs that I have on my playlist now that I didn't have on my playlist then. Not to say I didn't like the song or didn't listen to the song, but just it wasn't on my playlist. Because for as many awesome songs as there are, there's also a lot of bullshit on Tool albums. So I have... There are... Where is it? There are 32 songs on my playlist. At least... A couple of those you would combine. So, like, Parable Parabola is obviously one song, would be one song. And then Disposition Reflection Triad would be one song. Although, is it? It's, yeah. They're not. I do really like it, though. I've been I've been heavy into that lately. So if you did that and then take out the... Because I keep Ions on here. For nostalgia's sake, I guess. And I still like Intermission, but I wouldn't count it.
I would not either.
That, it's 56 seconds long.
And speaking of stuff that is difficult to Google, when you're trying to Google anything Tool-related.
Yes, it
sucks. Like, right now...
Because you have to say Tool band.
Well, not even just that.
Yeah.
But, like, I was just... I was trying to remember. I think it was Revolver had a bunch of articles pop up on Facebook this week where it was, like... 13 things you didn't know about this album and this album. And at the time, I would try to read them, and it wasn't. So I just tried to Google, like, Revolver Tool. And it's just, like, gun maintenance shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, because it's a Revolver Tool.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
But I just remember, like, that's always a difficult thing when you're, like, trying to look up something very specific. Because it...
Yeah. Because you get Revolver Tools.
Yeah, and it's like there was an issue of Revolver that's specifically around Tool. I had that once upon a time.
Yeah.
And I remember it being very good because it got into the mathematical theory behind Lateralis.
Yeah.
And I'd like to reread that, but I'm like, I'll never find the copy I have now. I have no idea where it is.
Oh, sure.
No. So I was checking to see if one would be available on Amazon, and it was like bringing up all kinds of shit.
I think we've had this conversation before, but have you ever bought something because that you know you have because you know you'll never find it?
Yep. Most certainly have.
Like a book or something?
Oh, yeah. Books, yeah. Most definitely. I'm like, I have it, but it's right in front of me for $6. I'm just going to fucking buy it.
I'm strongly considering buying Dr. Sleep again because I'm not sure what box it's in the garage.
Exactly.
And I kind of want to read that for next month, but...
Well, I am as well, so that will be good.
Oh, you're going to read Doctor Sleep?
I'm reading both The Shining and Doctor Strange next month.
Sleep.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Maybe I'll read Doctor Strange. You don't know.
You don't know what I do when I'm home.
But yeah, I want to read both of those before.
Pete's going to throw up on his bed.
Because, yeah, the new Shining Blu-ray comes out at the very beginning of October. Oh, that's gross, Pete. You poor guy.
Just don't want him to lay in it.
Nope. I want to read both of those, because A, Doctor Sleep comes out in November, and the new Shining Blu-ray comes out in the very beginning of October. So I want to read the books before those come out.
Yeah, and that was kind
of... And I've only read Doctor Sleep once, so...
Well, that's one more time than I have read it. So the Tool... Do you want to do Tool episode... Like... the week of the 25th?
Yeah, might as well.
Or the week that we would be recording on the 25th?
Mm-hmm.
My list will have more Lateralis in it
than...
Or some of the Lateralis songs will be higher.
Yeah, mine was definitely, if I remember correctly, Lateralis and...
Yours was like 8 out of your top 10 were all on Anima.
Anima and Lateralis were the two heavy ones.
Yeah.
10,000 Days had barely anything.
I only have 3 off 10,000 Days on my... But the thing is, I really like those 3 songs, though.
Yeah.
Like, Jambi is one of my favorite songs.
That's one of the albums I'll... Now that it's... Because, again, Spotify.
Yeah.
I'll probably listen to it a lot more, because if I'm just randomly walking to work or doing something or, you know, making dinner.
Yeah.
Then I can just pop that on and listen to it through my Spotify.
Yeah.
And not have to go find the fucking CDs. Because, again, convenience.
Yeah. The only one that on 10,000 Days that I like, other than the three that I keep that I listen to all the time, is probably 10,000 Days.
Yeah.
I don't like Wings 2, really.
No.
I don't like Rosetta Stone. A lot of people really like Rosetta Stone.
When 10,000 Days came out, I was disappointed in it.
Yeah?
I was disappointed in it. Like you said, there's some good stuff on there, the stuff that I like, I really like, but there's some other stuff I'm like, eh.
Yeah. 10,000 Days is okay, and then other than that, I just like, I really like Vicarious and John B. in the Pot.
Yeah.
But they're also, the Anima and Lateralis stuff, though, is the, obviously, yeah.
Them's the goods.
Yeah, I mean, they're two totally different albums, and there's like 18 good songs between the two of them.
Yeah.
The only song that's really popular off, or like with the fans, I guess, out of those two albums that I don't like is Ticks and Leeches.
Yeah, I don't like Ticks and Leeches at all. That's one of my least favorite ones.
I think it's the only proper song on that album that I don't like.
Yeah.
And people love that song.
Well, it's angry. And people like Angry Tool. Whereas most of that album is not Angry Tool. It's coming to terms with shit Tool.
Yes. It took me a long time to figure out The Grudge.
Yeah.
I
love that right from the beginning.
I did too, but I mean, figure out that it wasn't angry.
No, not at all.
Because it sounds like it. Because I wasn't... this sounds douchey. I wasn't listening to it. I wasn't paying attention to it. That's
you weren't Jimmy.
That's right.
I was
trying to stay away from that. but my... again, this is going to sound sappy. My recent experiences, the last 6 years of my life, that song and The Patient have really... if you want to know how the last 6 years of my life has gone, listen to the first two songs on Lateralis, and you'll get an idea.
Well, it's funny, because I have... When I get angry, I have two Tool songs I listen to every time.
Yeah.
I listen to Anima.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, I'm getting that rage out.
Yeah.
And then I listen to that.
Yeah.
I listen to The Grudge. So it's like, okay, you're angry, cool, now let it fucking go.
Yeah.
those are like my bad day at work songs right there.
Just beyond the lyrical significance.
Maybe Prison Sex thrown in first if it was a really
bad
day.
If it was a really bad day. Well, we were talking before. Well, when you got here, Undertow was playing.
Yeah.
I don't remember where it was on the album, but like that, just. And I said to you, I said, by the time you get to the bottom, it's like, dude, go see a therapist. Fuck.
Yeah.
I know you're mad.
Yeah, that album is dark.
I actually don't listen to that all that often because of that. I mean, maybe not because of that. I shouldn't say that. I usually a lot of times I start the playlist at Stink Fist and then let it go through. But... because it is a totally different, to me, everything up, the stuff on Opiate, obviously, and then Undertow, to me, that's just a good early 90s kind of grunge album, and it's not the same stuff as the next two albums, which are also very different, but
well, it's
the
also
same.
Not the same band at that point, right. too, because, although, what's his name left after Undertow?
The funny thing is, though, and I didn't realize this until recently when I looked into it, he still wrote most of those songs on Anima, you know, at least his parts. Like, all of the... Not every... I think maybe everything but Stink Fist? Whatever the last... One of them was written after he left, but... and the other thing is they left on better terms than people thought.
Yeah, he just didn't like the direction they were going in, so he's like, I'm done.
Yeah. And it wasn't like a fine... Like
it wasn't
still...
like Steven Adler getting thrown out of Guns N' Roses
because
he won't stop shooting heroin into his dick.
Right. You know? Yeah. Or because Axel's banging his girlfriend or something. Yeah. Which one was that?
Oh, that was Steven Adler.
Is it him?
Yeah, oh, that was on Appetite, yeah.
Yeah.
Rocket Queen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Steven Adler's girlfriend moaning as Axel fucks her.
Yeah.
On the album. That's a dick move.
Literally.
Yeah, not only did I fuck your
it's
girlfriend...
It's super classy,
I
too.
Put it on the album.
Yeah, that you're on.
Yeah, that you're playing drums to right now.
Yeah. All
it
class.
It goes beyond, like, the petty Fleetwood Mac bullshit.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's cute how you bang him and him, or her and her, but...
Yeah, sure, go your own way. But did you ever record anyone having sex?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I don't know how we got... How did we get there?
Because we were talking about the differences between the albums.
Right,
Chancellor didn't come on until later.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I can't even remember the prior bassist. Paul Dernard or something like
that. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I'm getting him confused, I think, with, like, one of the Mets catchers.
Maybe.
Because I think his name's, like, Paul Dernard or something, but...
You could have said anything right there, and I would have believed you. You could have said, yeah, his name is Peckerwood D. Jizzpants, and I'd have been like, cool. What else do we have? What do we have today? I didn't watch...
We had some trailers this week come out that were interesting.
True.
I watched two films that, as I watched them, I started to see how closely they were related, which is complete... They're completely different films, which made it very interesting for me. First one is a film that we watched a million times in high school that I haven't rewatched since, but it finally came out on Blu-ray, a good Blu-ray, The Doors.
Oh, yeah.
And as I rewatched it...
It's not that good?
It's good for what it is, but it just makes me hate Jim Morrison so fucking much.
I have not seen that movie a lot. I didn't care for it.
Yeah. It was one of those I watched a lot in high school because I liked The Doors' music.
Yep.
And it's very easy at that point in time to buy into the just, God, he's just a genius, and these fucking lyrics. And then as an adult, I'm looking at it like going, no.
He's kind of
an insufferable fucking twat.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And I'm just like, you know, there's a fine line between genius and, as you just said, cunt.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like... How fucking Matt Dillon didn't kill John Densmore.
Yeah.
How John Densmore didn't fucking murder him is just a testament to Densmore.
Yeah.
Because, like, Robbie Krieger seemed like he was kind of on Jim's side, but, like, Ray Manzarek, I mean, that band was astounding without him. Like, they made amazing music if you take him out of it.
Yeah.
Their band was still great.
Yeah.
And just, like, looking at... I mean, it's easy to remember, too, that he was dead by 27, so they had a lot of output at a very young age. But watching that film, I'm just like, I want to punch him at every opportunity. Like, you're ruining the band for your own bullshit. You're treating women like shit. I don't know how many times I screamed out, fucking toxic masculinity! As I'm watching this, and I'm like, I don't want to watch this as some woke dude, but my fucking God.
Yeah.
The shit he would pull with Pam.
Well,
and everyone's just like, that's just Jim being Jim. No, he's fucking everyone, throwing it in her face, and then making her feel bad because she looked at a dude.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it just made me fucking hate Morrison so
much. I think part of that is... obviously, part of it is that it was 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Holy shit, it was 50 years ago. Oh my God.
I know.
Or 48 or so years ago.
No, 50. It was like the early 60s, late 60s.
Yeah,
I mean.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. on one hand, it was 50 years ago. And then on the other hand, even as we were growing up, again, not that it makes it any better, but. Rock bands were acting the exact same
toxic
way.
Toxic masculinity was not a common phrase when we were kids. As we just pointed out, Guns N' Roses.
We just both, and we also, we watched The Dirt.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that so it's, it, part of it is the time, and part of it is, it was almost expected of your rock stars. Yeah. I'm sure that it still happens now, but it's not celebrated.
People could not get away with the shit that Axl Rose got away with.
Right.
Yeah. That, and now they'd just be like, no, fuck you. You're not playing here anymore.
Right.
Sorry.
You
don't hear the stories of them trashing hotel rooms or Led Zeppelin making a woman fuck a shark or whatever the fuck that story was. You know?
Yeah, none of those.
Very little shark fucking in rock and roll anymore.
I think another thing that there's not the same amount of shark
fucking. That's what I miss in my rock and roll.
There used to be way more shark fucking. How do you follow that?
Well, I'll follow that with my next step into are they genius or are they a fucking twat?
Ah.
I watched the Netflix documentary Jim and Andy.
Ooh, wait, before you get there, so we can stay on topic, too. Yeah. Another something that you and I have mentioned this before, but Maynard takes a lot of the heat for a lot of stuff. Yeah. And Rogan asked him point blank, why haven't you guys put your stuff out on digital before today?
Yeah.
Which is a legit question.
Yep.
And Maynard just kind of smiled and he said, don't look at me, man. And then he followed it up with, oh, it was the other guys. And Maynard, all he would say was, I love my brothers.
Yeah.
And that's all he would say. So I bet it was Adam.
Could very well have been.
That's my bet.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what reminded me of this, too, because...
I can't see the other two giving a fuck.
No.
And he also... Sorry, I keep cutting you off.
No, because this ties all into this, because Maynard is very much viewed as kind of a dick.
Oh, yeah. And so I think
he straddles that genius dick barrier as well.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
But in this instance... It wasn't him, and he actually came up... I can't remember if it was a personal anecdote, or if it was something... I think it was maybe something that a different someone else in a rock band had told him. That... Because Rogan said at the beginning, he said... Because Garth Brooks also doesn't have any of his stuff on digital. Mm-hmm. And he said, you guys have that in common with Garth Brooks up until today, or whatever. And Garth Brooks has always told people that... You know, whenever he's asked, that he wants his music to be experienced in its entirety by the album. And Maynard's...
Do you, Garth?
I know.
Do you?
I know.
Really?
Like, you've got concept albums, you asshole.
Yeah, you just had albums that had three good songs and then some garbage.
Yeah, exactly. And Maynard said, and I can't remember where the anecdote came from, but someone was having that conversation with a fan, and the fan's response, and there's no comeback for this, he's like, oh, you like how you play them live? And he goes, and I'll tell you, Joe, we've never once played an entire album live in order.
No.
In fact, it annoys the shit out of people because they play Parable and Schism backwards every time.
Yeah.
And that really, it doesn't, I don't give a fuck, but it really bothers people.
Oh, yeah.
But, so that is not, that's a terrible excuse. And he did not give that as the excuse, but he said, it was very clear it was not him. Because if you think about it, his other two bands are on digital, so...
Oh, yeah. Perfect Circle and Peace for
Why would he have... Because I think he probably feels just as much ownership with those bands, because they've been around now for...
Oh, yeah.
They've been around for, like...
Well, Perfect Circle, when they put out their last album, that was the first album in, like, 10 years, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because he put out, like, two Pucifer albums in the middle of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. But they like you said, yeah, they've been on there a while.
So I don't know what the reasoning is, because it can't be, I mean, it's easy to point to money, but like we were talking about earlier, it was on iTunes for like, mm-hmm. It was immediately there were 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah. Yeah. And had 5 of the top 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
All 5 of your albums earned the top 10. That's like Beatles level shit.
Yeah.
You know?
So I don't know what the reasoning is, because you're certainly not going to be like, you're not going to win, you know,
yeah.
Like, well, I'm going to keep selling CDs.
Well, to tie it back in, though, to the documentary.
Yeah.
There's money to be made in being enigmatic.
Good job keeping us on track.
Thank you. When you're an artist and you're enigmatic, it keeps people's attention. There are artists out there who will just lay everything out on the table. People will still be fine. But there are other artists like Maynard. Who, up until he wrote a book a few years ago, which I still haven't read, nobody knew a fucking thing about him. Like, he was in the military. He had a kid. Nobody fucking knew.
Yeah. Because
he didn't talk about it. Which always made him kind of interesting. And the Jim Carrey, Andy Kaufman documentary plays into that. Because, I mean, to throw this out there for people who don't know who Andy Kaufman is, because he's way out of the cultural zeitgeist now.
Yeah, at this point, certainly.
But he was a comedian who blurred that line between what was funny and what wasn't funny. What was real, what wasn't real. I mean, he's most famous for being on Saturday Night Live, standing there while the Mighty Mouse theme song played.
Yeah.
Only to mimic the words, "Here I come to save the day." That was, like, a big thing. And then he was on Taxi. And then he really... Like, I first became aware of him because I liked both wrestling. Wrestling and David Letterman.
Yeah.
When he appeared on David Letterman and got slapped by a wrestler. And I'm just
Jerry,
like,
Lawler. Or
yeah,
something.
Jerry the King Lawler. And I was just like, holy fuck, what is this? What is happening? Who is this guy even about? Because he was the intergender wrestling champion, because he would challenge only women to wrestle.
Right.
And then basically to do like the kind of the tennis player Bobby, who tennised Billie Jean.
Yeah.
Who played it up that men are stronger, men are better, blah blah blah.
Bobby Riggs.
There we go. Good callback. And that was his whole thing. But he also had another persona by the name of Tony Clifton.
Right,
who he swore was not him.
Right.
And he would blur the line by having his manager / co-writer, Bob Zmuda, sometimes appear as Tony Clifton when he wasn't around. So people never knew, is this guy... Because there would be times when, like, Andy Kaufman would be there. Well, like they would play pranks on people that way.
Aren't there still people that... think he's still alive and
it was
a joke?
Thinking that this was the biggest prank he ever pulled.
Yeah.
Because he famously got cancer and died and was seeking, like, medicinal, like, what would now be, you know, internet treatments.
Yeah.
With fucking crystals and bullshit.
Whatever. He was into the stuff that Gwyneth Paltrow would be hawking on her website.
Oh, yes.
They'd all be goop products.
Yeah. So, years ago, 1999, there was Milos Forman, who also made One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So he's a very well-respected film director, decided he was going to make Man on the Moon.
Yep.
Title from the R.E.M. song.
Right.
Which Andy Kaufman appears in. By name. It's not like he said
that. That would have been something.
But they decided to make the movie, and they cast Jim Carrey as Andy Kaufman. Jim Carrey was fresh off the Truman Show, so he was starting to make a name for himself as a dramatic actor.
Yep.
And during the filming of the movie, he was so, quote-unquote, in character that he would only be either Andy or Tony.
Like, yeah.
And there's shots of them, because, like, I guess he paid to have people follow him around all the time filming shit. That's where they got the stuff for this documentary. And holy fuck, is he insufferable.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's this scene where he's, in, like, getting makeup done, and he's, like, as Tony Clifton, just blaring this music, and everyone else in the trailer getting makeup done is just like, fuck him. And oddly enough, it started to blur the line with Jerry Lawler. Because, like, he would fuck with Jerry Lawler, like Andy used to. But Jerry's like, we were friends, you dumb fuck.
Yeah.
You know? You're antagonizing me. Andy and I had this shit planned.
Yeah.
We were friends. I'm going to beat your ass.
You're not doing this right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a scene where Jerry, like, he went after him. And apparently, like, during the recreation of the slap scene from Letterman,
yeah,
he belted him in the side of the ear, like hard.
So did he ever like get through to Jim that this was not you're doing this wrong?
No, like even Milos was like, I need to speak to Jim, and he was like, who's Jim? I'm Andy.
Yeah,
if you want Jim back, we're gonna have to delay the sets for like 3 weeks because I'm Andy. Jim isn't here. And, like, there are little snippets with, like, when they're filming the taxi stuff with, like, Judd Hirsch and fucking Danny DeVito, and they're just going, this is fucking weird.
Yeah.
So they're like, this is like Andy being Andy, and it reminded us how much we loved him, but how much we fucking hated working with him some days.
Yeah, I mean, because genius only takes you so far, and I don't want to be around you. Well, I'll put it, you know, again, bringing it back to Maynard, I don't want to hang out with him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And, like, I'm a full-blown Andy apologist. I love the shit Andy Kaufman did. I think it was genius. But I'm just like, I would have never worked with him or hung out with him.
Right, yeah.
I would have been like, no, keep me the fuck away from him because he's fucking toxic.
Yeah, I'll watch it on my TV.
Yeah.
But
there was a great scene, though, where during the filming of it, they went to a Playboy Mansion party. Because Jim got the invite, but he showed up as Bob Zmuda. I mean, not as Bob Zmuda, as Tony Clifton, in full Tony Clifton. Only it wasn't really Jim as Tony Clifton. It was the real Bob Zmuda. And when Jim Carrey showed up, there's this scene where Zmuda as Clifton is talking with Hugh, and Hugh's all, and then like you see Hugh's face when Jim Carrey shows up. And he's like, what the fuck? And throws Zmuda out of the party. Just like, you fuckers.
Now, Jim Carrey shouldn't have... He shouldn't have been there at all. He was not invited.
No, well, no, he was invited as Jim Carrey.
Did he show up as Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. So this was after the movie was made. Or before.
I don't think so. I think it was in the middle of it, still in the timeline. So again, so he was making his own fucking rules as to when
you're taking advantage of being Jim Carrey when it's convenient.
Yeah, I mean, he was taking full advantage of just getting to be an asshole when he wanted to be an asshole.
I think,
and playing it off as just I'm in character.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, you're just like, I don't fucking care.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about your process at this point.
Yeah. And, like, you're still talking to Miloš fucking Forman.
Yeah.
Dude's a world-class director. And, I mean, Jim Carrey at that point was the biggest... And I understand why it happened, too, because they talked about where he was just, like, a dirt poor kid from Canada.
Yeah.
Like, his family was homeless for a while and all this shit. And in 1994 alone, he had Ace Ventura, The Mask, and Dumb and Dumber come out.
Right.
So he went from being, like, the white dude on In Living Color to just being the biggest movie star on the fucking planet.
What was the fireman thing? Fireman what?
Fireman Amy or Bill or Bob or some shit. I don't know.
Some fucking
thing. Well, here's the thing. I fucking hate Jim Carrey's Jim Carrey stuff. It showed some, like, of his early stand-up.
Yeah.
And it was, like, fucking Tim Allen level
annoying. Yeah, I was going to say, his stand-up is awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
It's
full of him doing the, alrighty then.
Yeah.
All that shit. The stuff that, like, I'm one of the few people I know who, those three movies that I just named, I hate every fucking one of them.
I like When Nature Calls.
I don't even know if I've ever made it all the way through because I didn't like Ace Ventura that much.
When Nature Calls is funny. But like, sorry. That's a guilty pleasure movie.
Like, Liar Liar, I think, was one of the first ones of his I liked, but I don't know if I can rewatch that.
Liar Liar is a family movie.
Yeah.
That's not, he's not, yeah, that's when he started, making those kind of movies instead of the goofball ones. Although, he was still making goofball stuff.
But. Yeah, well, that's the thing. He couldn't, much like Mike Myers, he can't sometimes get rid of the whole character, his whole persona sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, and even in stuff like The Truman Show, that shows up.
Oh, sure.
And I fucking love The Truman Show.
Yeah, Truman Show's good.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the only Jim Carrey stuff I like is The Truman Show, Man on the Moon. Shit, I'm forgetting the name of the...
Spotless Mind one.
Oh, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Definitely love that fucking movie. That's by far. Apparently, there's a scene in this with Jim where because he's talking about looking back on his career.
Yeah.
And he talked about when he met Michel Gondry. And Michel Gondry's just like, you're so beautiful. You are so broken. Please don't fix. And Jim's like, we don't film for a year.
Do you want me to stay in this room?
But yeah, no, he just loved the fact that he was, like, emotionally fucking broken, which is perfect for that movie, but Jim's like, I have to be this way for a year before filming? Yeah. So he's done some amazing work, but God, I just can't get into his comedy, and that's what he's known for.
Yeah, well, and
it's the Adam Sandler shit. I don't find it funny most of the time.
That's how he got the chance, that's why he got the chance to do stuff like that, is
because
of the comedy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, Adam Sandler is a perfect example of how you can outgrow something even if you started watching it as an adult or older teen.
Hell yes.
Because I used to love Adam Sandler movies, and now I just can't even stomach him. We tried to watch, Robin wanted to watch that Netflix movie.
Any of them.
The Jennifer Aniston one. Yeah. Fuck, I don't remember, murder mystery or something like that. And I was gonna be, you know, you can watch that solo, but I, from semi-reputable sources, heard that it was decent. So I was like, all right, I'll watch it with you. We made it about 30 minutes.
Good job.
And
good job making it 30.
At one point, I looked at Robin, I was like, he's just an asshole. Mm-hmm. I don't want him to win.
Mm-hmm.
He's a dick. He's a dick to everyone. He has a dick comeback for every single thing spoken to him.
So he fits right into today's topic with this.
Oh, he does.
That bullshit, like, toxic masculinity that gets encouraged because they're funny, or
ish. At some point, just, it's tiring when everything that is said to you, you have a wise-ass remark back to. Mm-hmm. Like, just fucking talk like a normal human, you asshole.
Yeah.
But everything that comes out of his mouth in that is a wise-ass remark responding to someone else. And like you said, when his scene partner is his wife 90% of the time, it's like, why are you with him? Yeah. You are one of the most beautiful women in the world. Mm-hmm. Not, I mean, obviously the character in the movie is not a rich and famous actress.
Could do better.
But you could do way better than this character.
Yep.
Okay? Your character, mm-hmm. and I know I shouldn't say that, but based on your looks alone, your character
yes.
can do way better than Adam fucking Sandler.
Yeah. But no, there's just those certain people, like, that we've been talking about. Where you're like, oh my god, yeah, their output is huge. They've done some good stuff, apparently, for some people more than others.
Yeah.
But yet, they've just been given that carte blanche.
Yeah.
To where they can just be insufferable.
Yeah.
And still keep getting work. Which has actually come up a lot this week, because people are gushing over Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And the same thing often gets said of Tarantino.
Oh, I wouldn't want to hang out with him either.
Oh, no. Like, I'll listen to him on podcasts and shit, because he has interesting stuff to say, but yeah. I mean, there's been numerous stuff written about just what an awful human being he is, and how,
yeah.
like, making Kill Bill, he almost killed Uma Thurman, like, 8 times.
Sweet.
You know? But yet, because he's as... Because he's never put out shit, he keeps getting work.
Well, it's... I mean, that's true across the board. You look at how... You know, you look at professional athletes, mm-hmm. you know?
As long as they perform.
They can do a lot of things. Now, to be fair... And there's a guy that I listen to a lot, and he points this out, and I think it's fair to point out all the time, that the NFL has a, for example, has a reputation as being like a bunch of thugs and wife beaters and stuff like that, when in reality, professional football players commit crimes and domestic violence crimes specifically. Mm-hmm. And crimes in general at a much, much lower rate than the general population. Mm. Because they're rich people, you know, so, I mean, not that that matters with domestic violence, but, like, they're not out robbing fucking banks or shit. Robbing banks. Can you imagine, like, 5 offensive linemen going into a bank? Give me all your fucking money. But point is, the ones that do, though, Kareem Hunt was out of a job for about 3 months.
Yeah.
And there is video of him kicking a woman.
Yeah.
While she's on the ground.
Ezekiel Elliott's pulling the LeVar Bell thing this year.
Le'Veon
Bell thing. And he's not a good person. He can't keep himself out of fucking trouble.
Yeah. The funny thing about...
I think Dallas is kind of like, all right.
They're dumb. They'll pay him.
Oh, yeah.
But the funny thing about him, though, is he doesn't really have a whole lot of leverage, because he is... He's not in the same situation as Lev Bell. I think when we talked about it last week, I think he's right in this scenario, by the way.
Yeah.
But he doesn't really have a lot of leverage, because you only get, he's 2 years away from his deal being done. Mm-hmm. So he's got 2 years left on his rookie deal. So if he doesn't show up this year, that year doesn't accrue.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just still only he's still 2 years out.
Yeah.
So he has to report. But he doesn't have to be there until week 8. Mm-hmm. And if he's not there by week 8, they're sunk. So he does have that leverage, but not the leverage that Lev Bell did to say, I'm going to sit out a year and not play here ever again.
Mm-hmm.
He does have to come back, but they have built that team around him.
Yeah. But at the same time, stop getting arrested, like, fighting people.
Yeah.
Because that's not helping... People aren't going to feel sorry for you.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, and that was the thing with that most recent thing. It turned out to be nothing. It turned out to be there were no charges filed or anything like that. But I can't remember who it was that said this. And he said, yeah, but the other 52 guys in the Cowboys mm-hmm. aren't even in that situation.
Yeah.
It's always him.
Yeah.
And... Like, it makes everyone... He's a perfect example. He makes everyone look bad.
And it's funny, because I have this same conversation with the kids I work with.
Because
they get in trouble all the time.
Yeah.
And they're always like, I didn't do anything. I was just there.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, guess what? Guess how many times I get questioned by the police on a weekly basis?
Right.
0, because I don't put myself in situations where shit is going to go horribly and I'm going to get questioned.
I wasn't even doing anything at the bum fights. Well, why were you at the bum fights?
This past week, there were two arrests made for two kids assaulted a homeless man in one of our parks.
There you go.
On the waterfront, no less. So, you know, where it's going to definitely get noticed. And there were like 30 other kids. Some were filming it. And it's just like...
I swear I didn't know that when I said the bum fights thing.
Oh, no. No. There were two
it's
kids.
It's because that... I just watched the Veronica Mars episode with the bum fights.
And all these other kids are getting questioned by the police because they were seen in the video.
Yeah.
And they're like, I didn't do anything. But I'm like, but again.
Why were you there?
Why were you there?
Yeah.
And like another kid was like, well, I was trying to break it up. I'm like, don't.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Because now you're going to get questioned by the cops and people are going to see you being questioned by the cops. And you're going to get a snitch jacket.
Yep.
And then life ain't good for you.
Yep.
Because guess what? The kids that did the assault of the old homeless man. There are a lot of old homeless people looking for that kid's ass right now.
Oh, yeah,
I bet. Happy you're in jail, kid.
Yeah.
Because when you get... Because this guy was an old, like, well-known homeless man that everyone kind of liked.
Yeah.
And you beat his ass. There are people with nothing to fucking lose now.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Who want to fucking murder you. And, you know... So, stop being around that shit.
Yeah.
Because guess what? If you were around it, they're going to be like, oh, that kid was there. Did he involve? I don't remember. But he was there.
Yeah. And when you're, like you said, it's not just the, when you're, the other kids see you being questioned by the cops and now you get labeled a snitch. Well, at the very same time, the store owner that's looking out their window watching you being talked to by the cops is now going, that kid's trouble.
Yep.
So you're getting it from, you can't win either there way.
And that's the stuff I try to talk to them about, especially the younger kids of color.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is Maine.
Definitely.
We are fucking lily white.
Yep.
Because we have one kid, he's like 250, 6'3".
Yeah.
And he's a nice kid, but he's always kind of around this shit. And I'm just like, you're the first one that's going to get hauled in. Because you're the biggest, you're the darkest.
Yep.
Sorry,
it's not right.
It's not right, and it sucks because he's like, well, that's not fair. I'm like, no shit.
No, it's not.
We know it's not.
You're right, but that doesn't change it.
Yeah, but it's still not going to be good when you're fucking cuffed and stuffed because you're the first one they recognize.
And like, you stand in the group that you're with. You know, these kids aren't dumb. Look around the group that you're in. You know this guy's trouble. This guy's trouble. Maybe I shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the shit Ezekiel Elliott does consistently.
Don't hang around outside the club at 2:30.
Yeah. Nothing good is going to happen. Because guess what? A drunk dude's going to try to fight you.
Yeah. Yes.
Because why the fuck not?
Yeah, especially if you're a professional athlete. You're always a target because there's always going to be someone that thinks they can beat you up.
Yeah.
Because
they're going to be the guy that's locally going to be known as the guy who threw a punch at Ezekiel Elliott for the rest of their fucking life.
I got news for that guy, though. If he did throw a punch at Ezekiel Elliott, he'd... You have no idea how strong and fast those guys are.
Yeah.
Dude at the bar.
Yeah.
They are different humans.
It's like whenever I see people mouth off about Yasiel Puig, I'm just like...
Yeah.
His arms are the size of most humans' thighs.
And it's not even just that. Even if you get, like, there's big dudes around here. Even if you get your random big dude around here and the same size pro athlete...
Yeah.
It's still not... They are so much stronger and faster.
After four punches, you're going to be winded. They're not.
Well,
they're going to be fine.
I don't think it'll get to four.
No, but...
But yes, you're right.
Even if you just threw five punches and they just watched you do it.
Yeah. And just,
you're going to be wheezing like a motherfucker.
Like
after
I am
five,
right now.
And then they're going to pommel you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's never a good idea to attack a professional athlete in public. It's not going to end well. And as we talked about before, especially a lot of times the kicker's the best athlete on the team. He's just not that big.
Yeah.
He can kick your ass, too.
Yeah, literally. He's, yeah. His job is to kick a football, like, 70 yards.
Well,
you think if he kicks you in the knee, your knee's going to be okay?
No. A lot of them are, like, they were, like, all-state athletes and, five sport athletes. The guy that kicked for the Eagles for years, David Akers, he was a black belt.
So. Oh, yeah.
He would kick your ass.
Yeah, they're flexible.
Fuck yeah.
They're powerful.
I don't know how we get to that. How did we get to that? What were we talking about?
Privileged men.
Oh, yeah, yeah. People like us.
Yes. Us white dudes.
Us white dudes. We watched the trailer for The Irishman.
Yeah, that's...
I'm having a hard time getting excited about anything.
My thing that's weirded out is, like, why did you pay? Why did you get those three actors? Only to age up some
and de-age
the others. Yeah. I'm like, I get it. The name Pacino, so De Niro, and Pesci are all in the same film.
So that they could put Oscar winner, Oscar winner, Oscar winner on the screen. That's why.
Give them slightly different roles. Yeah. Where they don't have to all be different ages, although they're all the same age.
It feels like...
they aged up Pesci, I'm hoping. Yeah, well, I think this was fucking terrible. De-aged the shit out of De Niro and Pacino.
These guys are in their 70s, so... Yeah, I just... At some point, even though the, you know, obviously there are different stories and stuff, I've seen this already.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I'm like, I don't need another fucking story involving Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah.
That shit's been told a lot.
Well,
I don't need those three guys being gangsters anymore.
Exactly, that's it. I just...
It felt old after Casino.
I know, and it seems like every time they do it, it's a little... It's like making a copy of a copy. It's a little bit worse than the one before it.
Because, I mean, and Goodfellas was fucking Goodfellas. Yeah. You did not... Yes, Pacino wasn't in there. This is the first time all three have been in the same film, and that's a big
deal.
I honestly don't fucking care. But, like, Casino was the best movie of that fucking year. 91. 90, I think.
Goodfellas, you mean?
Yeah, Goodfellas. Yeah. That's what I mean. And then when Casino came out in 94, Four or 95.
Oscar?
Dances with Wolves.
Is that what it was?
And when Casino came out, I liked Casino. But like you just said, I'm like, I've already... Yeah, completely different characters, completely different setting.
Yeah.
But I've seen this before.
Yeah.
And while it's still good, I don't go back and rewatch Casino as much as I've rewatched Goodfellas. Because I just rewatch Goodfellas. Which is better.
Right.
And it's been 25 years since that.
Yeah.
And they're doing it again. I'm like, and I fucking love Scorsese. Like, for the longest time, he was my favorite fucking director.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to see this.
Yeah, I just feel like I've already seen it, and I can't, mm-hmm. I just don't think it's going to be, I don't care.
Yeah.
That's what it boils down to. I don't care.
Yeah. When I didn't know what it was about, I'm like, oh, we'll see what it's about. Now I'm like, oh, 70s era gang corruption.
Yeah, that's okay. Another thing. I'm bored with this time period from them.
Yeah.
Like, it's like they probably have the same fucking wardrobe that they use for all the other ones. Like, go back to the 50s. I don't know. If you want to
make something from... I mean, because with The Departed, people are like, oh, it's Scorsese doing more gang shit.
Yeah.
But at least then it was, and it involved the police just as much as it did the gangsters, and it was different.
Yeah,
this looks like this is part three of his Goodfellas saga.
Well, it's another 2 hours of guys with big sunglasses and suits sitting at club tables,
being
mafia-y, drinking drinks and smoking cigars. That's it.
And there's going to be guns and violence.
I know you could say the same thing about a lot of genres, but it's like, this one specifically, like we said, with those people and this director, like, Jesus, make something else.
Mm-hmm. Trying to go to our page to see what else was up this week.
There was a trailer for the 1917 movie.
Yes. Here we are complaining about, yes, another World War I movie, which I'm actually very excited for, because I like Sam Mendes as a director.
Yep.
And, like, I would have never picked... I can't say I never would have picked him for making a war movie, considering he's made Jarhead. But I would have never pictured him... Like, this look, I would have been like... If you'd said that was a Christopher Nolan film, I would have been like, most definitely.
That's what it looks like, doesn't it? Well, it feels like if Christopher Nolan was making the prequel to Saving Private Ryan. That's what this is.
You like Dunkirk, huh? Well, let's go back a little bit.
Yeah. But in this one, it's actually they're trying to save the private's brother,
mm-hmm.
or something.
Yeah, because if he can't get a message somewhere, then
they're going to get ambushed. His brother's unit's going to get ambushed, and whatever. So it's actually got a lot of the elements from Dunkirk and from Private Ryan. Yeah. So I guess everything that we said about The Irishman just now is pretty much we're shitting all over it now.
But this is the first time he's done this.
Yes, but in our defense.
Yeah.
It's not like Tom Hanks, Tom Sizemore, ooh, Tom Sizemore would be a rough pick right now, are all back again to make this movie.
Yeah.
Does Tom Sizemore even get work anymore? Is he in jail?
Probably. And when you need Tom Sizemore, just get Michael Madsen. And
yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Sizemore's been good in some stuff, but...
Man, it would be tough to get a lot of the people. Actually, you get a lot of them. You're not going to want to touch Vin Diesel.
No.
He'd
want to be the lead.
Yeah, he can stay right where he is. I want to be the entire year of 1917. I will exist as the year personified.
And I must talk about my family.
Yes. My family. 1916. And 1918.
The other trailer, I don't know if you watched.
I bet that's the first ever Vin Diesel as the physical manifestation of a year joke ever.
Yeah. Cutting edge.
Yep.
Little Monsters. Did you see the trailer for that?
No, but why have I heard of it?
Lupita Nyong'o's new zombie film.
So I like Lupita.
Hit pause.
Okay. All right, we're back.
Yeah.
Hey, I think it's going to work. Okay. I hit the wrong button when we came back. So we had to do a little audio...
Yeah. Some magic.
Chicanery. We just watched the Little Monsters trailer.
Yes. It premiered last year at, like I said, either South by Southwest or Fantastic Fest, and friends of the show, Brad and Darren, saw it, and they raved on it. So I've been anxiously awaiting this to come out. Lupita Nyong'o plays a... kindergarten teacher, I'm going to guess, looking at the ages of the kids.
On some sort of field trip.
Taking kids on a field trip to, like, a weird little farm run by Josh Gad. Another insufferable twat.
Yes.
And zombies.
Remember
attack.
When people thought he was a genius? Speaking of genius stuff, when people thought, yeah. You gotta, what was the show? And we're like, oh, he's the next comedic genius.
Yeah, I can't
he's
remember.
Just kind of an annoying dick.
Yeah.
Keep going.
And the zombie outbreak happens.
Sure.
And she has to protect as little children does. From zombies. Just looks cute and fun.
Hilarity
and
ensues.
Lupita Nyong'o's amazing, so yep. I'll watch her in anything.
I still haven't watched Us. I was gonna say I will too, but I still haven't watched Us.
You need to.
I almost watched it two nights ago. But then I didn't.
And then the other trailer that came out was for The Lighthouse, which is Robert Eggers, who directed The Witch, his new film, starring
Robert Pattinson
and Willem Dafoe,
yeah,
which
yeah.
also looks fucking amazing. Another period piece takes place in Maine.
Oh.
On a Maine lighthouse. Black and white. So,
So
no one's going to go watch this movie.
No.
But it's going to be great.
When do these come out?
This fall-ish.
And is this...
It's one of those where it's like very... These will both be very limited releases.
Yeah. So really, realistically, we won't see either one of them probably until next year.
I'm hoping there's a chance for The Lighthouse because Robert Eggers is from New Hampshire.
So maybe there... And it takes place in Maine, so maybe there will be a viewing.
Yeah, because I know like when I went and saw The Witch in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, when he was there, maybe they'll do something similar like that again.
Yeah.
So that would be cool.
Speaking of coastal Maine, so there were some more cast stuff I saw for The Stand.
Yes! Amber Heard is apparently possibly in the running.
She's in it.
Oh, that's right, yeah, she's Nadine.
Nadine.
Which, awful casting choice.
Yeah, I didn't get that. Well, speaking of that, though, I know, obviously, the choices were limited in the story mm-hmm. on account of 98% of the population getting wiped out all at once, but how old was Stu in the book?
Mid-30s, I think.
Okay. Because just looking at the actors, the actress they cast for Franny is 20.
Yeah.
James Marsden is 46.
But he looks young.
He does look young. But I was thinking of it more on the actor side of it, because I was saying to Robin...
Yeah, he had to have been going...
I was like, ew, I could be this girl's dad. And I know that in Hollywood people do that, but it's not usually 20. Yeah. It's usually like, oh yeah, she's 26 and he's 48 or whatever.
Yeah.
She's 20. She was a kid like a year ago, you know?
Yeah, she was on a. She could have been on a Disney program like last year.
Like, she graduated high school after this show started.
Yeah.
Put it that way, she would have been like a 2017 grad or something like that. Ugh. We'd been doing this show for 2 years when that girl graduated from high school.
Ugh. Yeah.
James Marsden was in X-Men before she was born. Or the year she was born.
Yeah. Yeah. Yikes. She's 19, yeah, because X-Men was 19... It was 2000.
Like 99 or 2000.
Yeah. That's right.
At best, she was an infant.
Yes. When he was filming that film, she wasn't born. Wow.
So, but now that I think... Franny was a college student, so that tracks. But I was like... Because that made me think... Was Stu like 25 years older than
her?
No,
I think he was like mid to early 30s.
Yeah, I do too. At least that's how I always pictured him. I don't know. I'm sure it'll be fine.
The one thing I do like from that, though, is they've announced that Stephen King has written a new ending.
Oh, good, because I hate the ending.
As do I!
Although we've talked about...
with a better ending would be my favorite Stephen King book.
Yeah.
But you're like, I just slogged through 1,200 pages so the hand of God could come down?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah. But again...
Sorry, spoilers.
But I also don't like the end of It.
Yeah.
And I don't like the end of... We've talked about it a million times. He's not great at ending things.
Nope.
He's great at The Journey.
Oh, yeah.
Which is literally what The Stand is. The Stand starts to get... way worse when they stop moving.
Yep. Every time.
Every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because some of the most boring shit is Denver.
Yes.
The journey
to Denver is the best part, is probably the best and longest section of the book.
Yeah.
And then the journey from Denver to Las Vegas, those are hands down the two best. I mean, it's also 90% of the book.
Yeah.
But like you said, the Denver stuff is just like, let's get fucking going again.
Yeah, we don't need parliamentary procedure shit here.
Yeah, about who's going to mow the fucking lawn or whatever. Yeah. And then...
I get it. That's part of it. You need to have those discussions. Yeah. Not very dramatic.
Well, yeah, those characters need to have those discussions. They can have them off page.
Yeah.
Let's just assume that conversation was had.
Yeah.
But he was very thorough.
Oh, yes.
Although, I don't know how much of that stuff was in or not in the original.
I can't remember the original.
I
can't remember.
Even...
I read it, but I can't remember what was from what. Because I read that when I was like 16.
Yeah. And then once they get to Las Vegas, it's like, this wasn't really worth it.
Yeah.
Or I feel like there should have been more here.
Yeah. I mean, just the nuclear explosion alone, I would have been okay with.
Yeah.
If just Trash Can Man had done something and it blew up.
Yeah.
I did not need the literal hand of God coming down.
Yeah.
Especially in the miniseries. Because that looked terrible.
What did it do in the miniseries?
It was still a hand.
It was a hand?
But it was like early 90s. Terrible CG.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently he is rewritten.
Was it an actor's hand, or was it like cartoony looking?
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
Because of the CG.
There was some uncanny valley there, but not really.
Yeah. I don't know how much of, because he's just said he has written a new ending.
Yeah.
He has not said he has changed anything.
Yeah. He just said he wrote a new one. He didn't say it was better.
Yeah. Apparently he goes beyond where the book... It's going beyond where the book ended a little bit.
Because it wasn't really long enough.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I'm like, I don't need to go beyond that.
Yeah.
They made it back home. That's all I needed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Stu made it back.
Yeah.
That's all I need. I don't need more Denver shit where they get stuff running again. But I hope they change the Hand of God shit. It just wasn't necessary, and it was stupid.
So, well, and I assume we're going to see something different from It, also.
Mm. Which, also, they announced this week how long it's going to be.
Isn't it super, it's long.
2 hours and 45 minutes, and apparently, according to Machete, there's a 4-hour cut that he's hoping for, that he's hoping to release when it comes out on Blu-ray. Which...
So they had to have... this is awful. Everything I remember from the book takes place in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like
all the good stuff. The only stuff that doesn't take place in the first movie that I liked was them all getting back to Derry. Because you've got the stuff with Bev and her husband.
Yeah.
You've got the stuff with Bill in England, I think it was.
Sure. See, I don't remember any of that stuff. Oh. I remember none of that stuff. Everything I remember from that book is from the first movie. So I'm actually kind of going into... I mean, I'm sure once it'll start to click, but I guarantee you I won't be able to tell where the book and anything different happens.
And they film more with the kids.
Yeah.
Because they specifically mentioned how they had to de-age them.
Oh, the kids.
They have now used de-aging technology on, like, 15- and 16-year-olds.
Well, there's a bigger difference.
Well, that's what they said. They're like, you know...
Finn Wolfhard, 2016, probably, when he was filming, and now...
He grew up a lot.
He's not a cute kid. Now he's a gummy, awkward-looking teenager.
Ben probably looks like Jerry O'Connell at this point.
That would be fucking hilarious if you... In walks Jerry O'Connell. Like, what? I lost some weight. You also aged 30 years.
Yeah.
But
2 hours and 45 minutes. That's bold.
See, I think, and I think we talked about this way back, that it would have been wise to do it Hobbit style. Mm-hmm. Or I guess we kind of assumed that's what they were doing. And film all of the kids' stuff for both movies. Yeah. At the same time.
But they did not.
But apparently they did not.
No.
Well,
making almost $1 billion worldwide will get you some more leeway so that you can get the de-aging technology.
Yeah, true.
Because I'm sure the budget on this one's probably like 2 to 3 times bigger than the first one.
Oh, yeah. But it wasn't... on the other hand, it was never... I don't think it was ever in any danger of not getting a sequel.
Yeah.
It's not like, If the first Conjuring had come out and fucking made $0, there would not have been a Conjuring 2.
Yeah.
Whereas this was going to be two movies no matter what. Mm-hmm. But like you said, the success of one made two, probably tripled the budget of two.
Which worries me, though. Because I like Machete as a filmmaker. I don't like how he uses CG. And that was some of my least favorite parts. I mean, I love the first film. But there was some CG shit where I'm just like, that's sketchy.
What parts didn't you like?
Like the stuff when Pennywise went to go bite Georgie's arm. And all of it, I'm just like, I didn't need that in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks,
it's necessary, when he flipped his head, like, all the way open, and you could see the deadlights, and there were rows and rows of teeth. That sure. I get.
Yeah.
But, like, for some other parts, it didn't need it as much.
Yeah. Do you feel like it's an over-reliance on CG, or just going CG
because he can.
Because you can do, like, with practical, you can do...
Yeah.
You have to build it all.
Yeah, like, his first film, Mama... That film was so good through most of it.
Is that Jessica Chastain?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, well, that's where they met.
Uh-huh. Now it's making sense to me.
And they even used Javier Botet, or whatever, the guy who was the... forgetting, when your limbs fall off, that disease. Leper. He was the leper in it. He was also Mama in Mama. There were parts when it was just him that were fucking amazing, but then there were other parts where they went really CG.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, God, that looks so CG now. You kind of ruined it.
Was Mama good?
Mama wasn't bad. Again, it would have been much better, but the CG...
I noticed you did not say, yes, it was good.
The CG kind of ruined it, especially because the CG's at the end.
Oh,
so it sticks with you more.
Yeah.
I should probably revisit it because I've only seen it once, but... Yeah, that CG kind of took me out, and I don't want to see that with It Chapter 2.
Did he have another?
Doesn't need it.
Did he have another hit between Mama and It? If you have to look it up, the answer's no.
Oh, I could very unlikely, but there could be something mid range.
I was just wondering, did he get the It job off of Mama, off of the success of Mama, whatever that success may have been.
God, can't he have a name that's better, easier to spell?
No.
There we go.
Oh, speaking of none of that.
No, went right from Mama to It. Yeah, because before that he'd only done a short.
Well, good for him.
Mm.
Source material obviously is a big part of it, but that was...
he's working on a screenplay for The Jaunt.
I don't know what that is.
Stephen King short story.
From what? Tell me. I don't know any of the names
Night
of the short
collection,
stories.
Maybe.
Okay. What was it about?
Teleportation.
Okay. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the names of any of the short stories. Like, very few of them.
I gotta pick a collection to reread for short stories too for September. Maybe I'll do that collection.
Oh, I also I ordered, because I didn't have it. I ordered The Outsider. You read that, right?
Yes.
It was.
He's
pretty
got
good.
Something else. Does The Institute come out in September too?
It's like the 3rd.
That will automatically get on the list then for stuff I have to read.
I think it's the 3rd. With that, is it?
I gotta start prepping my September King.
Yeah. Because yeah, when I got The Outsider, that popped up to pre-order. I think it was September 3rd.
Yeah, I'm on Amazon right now.
And that's the one that we're
thinking is Firestarter related.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
September 10th. You were okay. Close.
I was off by a week. Okay, so that... You're going to try to read all three of those?
Yep.
Between now and the end of September?
Yep.
And a short story collection?
Maybe not anymore. Because I forgot The Institute was coming out. And since it's a new book, it's probably like 1,000 pages. Let's see.
I'm still trying to get through Good Omens.
576. So that's a small book for him nowadays. But
yeah.
But still a lengthy chunk.
Although Revival wasn't very long.
No.
Revival was pretty...
Ooh,
is
Joe,
Outsider
I forgot Joe
long?
Hill's new book comes up, too.
Is The Outsider long?
No.
Okay, good. Because I get fucking takes
Full Throttle
forever.
Comes out October 1st. Just a good time to be a King family fan.
It is weird that stuff lines up in September with him.
I know.
And it was... The two things were not related. We didn't start doing it in September because of...
No,
because
of
anything that happens.
Yeah.
And ever since we started doing it, yeah. September has been a huge release window for
You're
him.
You're welcome, yeah. Stephen King fans.
Yeah,
you are welcome. But no, this... Within the next week or so, I'll start cementing the stuff I want to watch. Because, you know, I always... Like, I just... picked up the Return to Salem's Lot DVD because I've never watched that.
I'm sure it's great.
Oh, I've heard it's garbage, but it's a Larry Cohen film, and he's done good stuff. So
who is it?
Larry Cohen.
Sure.
Yeah. Did the stuff.
I think a bunch are on, and you can literally just sign up for a Vudu account. You don't have to have any movies or anything to do it. I think a bunch are on the free with ads on Vudu if you're looking for that, like Graveyard Shift.
I know the new season of Mr. Mercedes comes out in September. Season 2 finally releases.
Wait, what is that on? Is that on Stars?
No, it'll be on DVD.
But is that show on Stars?
No, that's on the AT&T channel or something.
I thought Robin's 3-month Stars thing.
That's the other thing I started watching this week.
The Boys?
The Boys. It's awesome. It's really good. You want to see superheroes acting like assholes?
Yeah.
There you go. And the people trying to take them down. Yes. Yeah, but to think, like, the new It is going to be almost as long as Infinity War.
Yeah. About as long.
Yep.
Oh, speaking of that, yeah, Endgame came out digitally this week. It's going to be very different viewing-wise for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are... relative to your average Avengers movie or Marvel movie or whatever. Because a lot of times you just sit down and you watch, I don't know, Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
Or you just sit down and you watch Civil War. That's not going to happen with Endgame, and not just because it's really long.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I've already found that the first time I watched it, I have skipped sections and... not watched things because, like, it's upsetting.
Yeah.
Hey,
look, The Departed, free with ads. It heard us talking.
It did. Yeah, so I've watched it a couple times. I watched it a couple times this week, or, you know, the majority of it.
Yeah, so I think it's still, like, a week or so away from coming out on Blue.
Yeah, probably. Man, the end fight scene is it's amazing to watch, no matter how many times you watch it. It's amazing. It's just like, and if you, I watched that scene a couple times in a row a couple days ago, just to, like you would in, like you do in a comic book when you have the splash page and you're looking at every, trying to see every little thing and find every little detail.
Oh yeah, I know I'll be pausing.
Oh yeah, you have to go back and watch, like you watch, there's one scene that I watched like a 5 second clip where I watch it like five or six times because there's like 40 people on screen. It's wild. I have also found, though, there is a scene, and I'm going to see it every fucking time I watch it now, because it happened, I noticed it the first time I watched it, Monday night, because I started watching it at midnight Monday, and I noticed it again the other time I watched it, is there are some, you were talking about bad CGI, I'll actually go to it and after we're done, and I'll show you where it is. It's when... Tony and Cap and Scott are talking in New York after they've lost the Tesseract, and they're deciding to go back to 1970. In the background, there's, like, cars that are smoldering, and the particle effects are stuttering. And it's...
Which, like, is something you don't notice when you're on a big, giant screen and everything's happening at once.
Right, and then... and. It kind of goes back into the thing we were talking about with Venom last week. You kind of, in my brain, you incorporate the budget into what you're okay with in the movie. Mm-hmm. That ain't okay in Endgame.
No.
It should be flawless.
Yeah.
And yes, smoke is hard, but smoke is in everything. Smoke, video games have smoke nailed. But it's like, I'll bring it up in a minute, and it's obvious and very clear, and I'll never not see it. But man, what a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and Kevin Smith has actually quoted a bunch of stuff this week from it, because he's like, the writing in this was highly overlooked.
But yeah.
It's just a well-written film.
It's also a very well-acted film.
Yeah.
Which maybe sounds... silly from the, you know, from the outside when you're talking about a comic book movie.
Yeah.
But it really is, because you have to, you think about it more like on multiple viewings, but they had to be, Robert Downey Jr. had to be Tony immediately after, and then be a totally different Tony for 5 years later.
Yeah.
Without it being a jarring... dumb transition, and all of them had to do that.
Wearing a big beard.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah, he hasn't cut his hair since. That's how we're going to show you. That's where show don't tell does not. No. You don't want that.
No, but like Kevin Smith was specifically talking about like his little reunion scene with his dad.
Yeah,
and talking about, you know, how his dad thought it would have been easier to have a girl because he wouldn't have been raising just another version of him. And his dad talks about how he's just been selfish all his life.
Yeah.
And then you realize the choice Tony makes later in the film, and you're like, shit.
Yeah. You know,
they fucking just told you everything right there.
Yeah.
As to why Tony makes that choice.
Right.
But they drew no attention to it.
Yeah, and there's a couple things like that that you don't really notice it until you've watched it. Because the first time you see anything like that, you're just trying to take it all in.
Yeah.
And even the second time... you're still doing that. You don't really start to notice it until you can pause. And, or actually, a lot of it for me, and it's dumb because there wasn't anything that I didn't understand, like that got muffled or anything, but I also watch movies with the subtitles on. And things make more sense when you are reading it, too.
Yeah.
Or at least that's the way I am.
I watch movies with subtitles way too fucking much.
Yeah, and I sometimes I have to make a conscious effort to, like, shut them off because I'll say to myself, dude, you're not even watching this movie.
You're reading the movie.
You might as well be reading a book. And no one wants that. No, and I do, and I'll sometimes, and it's hard because I'll still find my eyes darting down to the bottom of the screen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because you get,
or I won't be actively listening because I know I can read it.
Yeah, that too. You're not paying attention to what's going with the dialogue. Yeah. My wife, I say that like I don't ever talk about her on here.
Who is it? Who is this? You're married?
So Robin, she watched it, because a lot of the subtitle habit came from when you have kids, you can't hear your TV.
Yes.
So you have to have subtitles
on. Damn kids always yelling.
But Robin, what she does, she reads ahead. Because she laughs at jokes before they...
I hate it when the subtitles get ahead of what's being said. I hate it so much.
And it's fine because I know, we all know the jokes, mm-hmm. but it's just funny because she'll, like, chuckle at something before the line has been said because she's read it. it's also a lot of the times we're watching shows that we've seen 15 fucking times.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we're back going through, I think we just started season, got to season 2 of Brooklyn Nine-Nine on rewatch number... I don't even know. But your choices are so limited when you have an 8-year-old. You can watch whatever you want until they're about 3.
Yeah.
I mean, you shouldn't, but you can.
Yeah, I watched, Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah, you shouldn't, but you can. But man, once you get to the point where they can ask questions... And you know you're being a bad parent,
yeah.
instead of just assuming you are.
When they're calling you out on it, yeah. specifically.
Your choices are so limited for what you can watch as a group, and I have spoken many times on my love for Disney movies and mm-hmm. stuff, but oof, at some point, I gotta watch something else, and it's basically just like the 3 sitcoms that we like, you know? That's what it ends up being.
Yeah.
Fortunately,
I need something with stabbing and titties, damn it.
I want to hear F words. Yeah. But it's fortunately those shows just don't get old. And especially Parks and Rec was born in a time of 24 episodes a year.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like, 100 and whatever episodes of Parks and Rec. Do we have anything else to
do? No, I'm wrapped up.
Okay. I think we've just been rambling for
but
the last
no, we did.
Minutes,
we hit our 130
with
ease.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be back next week with...
Something.
We're going to do a Tool thing on the 25th. We'll redo our Tool ranking. Maybe I'll start doing that this week. I'll get my whiteboards out. Should I try to make my ranking before I re-listen to that episode to see what it was then?
I'm going to try.
When did
see
we do that?
How frustrated I get. Oh, jeez.
2017?
It was
when
right
did we
after
go to
the concert,
show?
Yeah.
And that was 17, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it wasn't that long ago, so mine shouldn't be that different,
mm-hmm.
but they will be different. because I didn't really get obsessed with Third Eye until after we went to the show, and I think we recorded that before we went to the show. I think. And plus, it also helped that that's when I ordered Salival and... finally
true.
Had it on, because it does matter if you have it on your phone.
It does.
It does. Because I just didn't. The only way I had access to those were on YouTube, so I just didn't listen to them that often. But once I got it, and it was on my playlist all the time. Same thing with No Quarter. I didn't listen to No Quarter either.
Oh.
Ever. Not
That's
on
important.
Because it's not on anything. So having that on there is key too. So we'll do that on the 25th. We also have, actually, the 25th, ooh, maybe we should do it on the 18th, because the 25th,
okay.
fine, fuck
sure.
you then, because the 25th is going to be our PLP football draft.
Oh, yeah, that'll be a thing.
We'll want to do that on air, right?
Hell yeah.
Even though not live. Is there a way to live stream? Because that would be pretty cool if everyone could hear us. While they were drafting.
Maybe.
Do we know how to live stream? Does
on
anyone
our,
out there know how to live
on
stream?
On our phones, but...
Yeah, we could Facebook live it. That actually wouldn't be that hard, would
no,
it?
No, I don't think so.
I mean...
Would it be that interesting? It would not be difficult, but would it
well,
be interesting?
Well, what we could do... I'm trying to... Is... it wouldn't necessarily... You could Facebook live it... And then just have your camera pointed at my laptop with the draft board.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's no different. And I could be recording it at the same time and then release it as a podcast episode. Also, I like how we're producing the show while we're still recording it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm planning that would be the 25th.
Okay. So yeah,
I still have to put a thing on Facebook to see if people still want to do it. I had not done that. I did send out the league invite again this year, but it's probably in everybody's spam filter. Did you get one?
No, okay. I did not.
it went right to everyone's spam then. So I'll post a message today. And even if you're hearing this and you want to be in the league, let me know. And then we're going to try. No matter what, we'll find a way to fit everyone in if there are extra people that want to do it.
Yeah.
We'll either increase the teams or Dan and I will team up or something like that.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes, we'll get everyone in. So we'll do Tool on the 18th then. I think Robin and I are going to go to Hobbs and Shaw next weekend.
Oh.
I think we're going to go on Sunday, so we'll have to reschedule recording either to before I've seen Hobbs and Shaw or after it.
I think after would be better.
Okay.
All right, we'll figure something
out. We'll figure something out. Okay. All right.